Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Anthos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Stan Hess, talking about Stan's own personal, political, intellectual, moral, and spiritual odyssey from one place to the next in regard to the political and cultural spectrum of the United States since the late 1950s. And one of the things that we have been talking about in recent minutes has been the whole question of Jewish supremacism and the way in which Jewish supremacism may lurk behind some of the political and ethnic conflicts in the United States and elsewhere in the world that in an American political context has resulted in the marginalization politically, culturally, and economically of so-called European Americans. Stan, in that conversation, I was going to ask you, it seems to me that as I look at what has happened in this country in my lifetime, the United States is simply moving pell-mell, in my view, into a corporate, multinational, global, political and economic structure that has a handful of people at the top, and it seems that everyone else is headed straight for the bottom, and that this is behind so many of the events of our time. And when I look at the folks who feel increasingly marginalized but don't know exactly why, it's hard for me to envision how best to organize them politically, because it seems that in terms of money and media and educational institutions and so forth, that the folks behind the globalist picture have presently got control of all of our most powerful and significant institutions. How do we get around that?
Well, people can start by listening to Republic Broadcasting. And I try to get people to listen to this network all the time. But they seem still, even the people that have an inkling that there's more behind it than just conservative versus liberals, they still want to listen to O'Reilly, who many of us refer to as O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, that Zionist, whose real name is Michael Weiner, they still want to listen to these guys because they're connected up with the major television and radio networks, and it's like they don't understand that the internet is our television, our radio, and we need to use it, and we need to support this station, and we need to support you and everybody that's on this network. Because this is the only way we can get new information out.
I think you've identified something, Stan, that is well worth underscoring, that whether we're talking about the Republic Broadcasting Network or we're talking about the American Free Press, that alternative information is where it's at. And in regard to the electronic version of these things, when it comes to RBN, we're certainly trying to do an end run around corporate-controlled, Zionist-oriented news media. And this gets back to another essential point that you've just made, and that is that these traditional dividing lines between liberal and conservative, as that is understood by, say, Fox News and O'Reilly, I look at that sort of thing now and see it as part of a deliberate diversion to keep people from figuring out what's really going on. Is that a correct assessment?
Oh, of course. What's happening now is really the only thing that's the difference in any way between the Republican and the Democratic Party is the abortion issue.
And that may be more on paper than in reality itself. But when we come back, I'm going to take a look at that abortion issue and also look at some of these other things that either do or do not define the differences between the two major parties in this country.
Okay.
We'll be back with Stan Hess. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Mark Antosser coming live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Stan Hess talking about all kinds of things related to the American political and cultural landscape in this country since the end of the 1950s. Stan's had quite an odyssey and has reached a point where he believes that perhaps the most significant threat today to him and to people like you and me listening to this network is the whole issue of European Americanism. And the fact that it is on the decline, some would say that it threatens to be made extinct by certain political and economic and cultural forces that want it to go the way of the dinosaur, that want to eliminate it from the American landscape. That's going to be an interesting thing to continue pursuing this with Stan in the minutes ahead here as we wind down toward the last 50 minutes of our show today. Stan, talking then about this abortion issue, you see that is the one remaining difference between the two major political parties. What are the implications of it?
Well, the people that are having children are non-European American people, except for a few groups like the Mormons. You know, I'm going to tell you straight, when the pro-lifers say, you know, that this is a civil rights issue, and they keep harping on it, they're really, what they're doing is encouraging the depopulation of their own country, a depopulation of their own group, because we as European Americans, we pride ourselves on being able to support ourselves, and in the traditional American way, which is, you know, one family and both parents are working, and child's in daycare or with the grandmother, and the illegals that are coming here, predominantly from south of the border, for them it's an upgrade to live, you know, 12 people in assorted families in a two-bedroom apartment. And they can have as many babies as they want, because they're being told by their leadership group, the National Council La Raza, which means the race in Spanish, that this is their land and it was stolen from them. So one baby, one vote. So when the pro-lifers keep harping on the right to life issue, that's just encouraging Latinos to have more children. So there, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's a very, very interesting perspective. And when you look at, again, this whole difference in birth rates between the so-called European Americans and those who are in other racial and ethnic divisions and definitions in terms of what we are seeing going on in this country, I don't think there's any question at all that all of the demographics show that by a certain time in this century, so-called European Americans will be the minority in the United States.
No, I think it's going to be 20 years. I think this amnesty will definitely pass. And I urge people, though, to call Congress, call the Senate, call your senator and protest your senator approving this, signing on this amnesty bill, which is not called an amnesty bill, but it is. And what I've heard from Barbara Coe's group, the National Coalition for Immigration Reform, is that they've included a provision for fast-tracking the North American Union. So it's working hand in glove with the global capitalists and the Jewish supremacists who are in charge of behind the scenes of all the major civil rights groups, including the National Council of La Raza, to connect up the immigration issue with the North American Union, and that will create one country from the Arctic Ocean all the way down to Tierra del Fuego, and you know, right across the water from Antarctica. And anybody that thinks that European American traditions of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and all the rest will be revered by Latinos, who will be an ethnic majority, will be deluded. And if you think that's going to happen, you're sadly mistaken. And they are going to march on our ethnic and heritage graves of our ancestors, and we are going to be an asterisk in history. So that's that's why I'm of the opinion that we need to create ethnic parliaments in the United States for every ethnic group. We also need to move into certain selected areas, maybe not all in the same country, in the same United States, the same areas, but, you know, maybe South Carolina is being one area, and maybe an area of Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho in another, and then to fight for community control and try to resist the federal government bringing in refugees by the thousands, which they do through the State Department and these religious groups that are 501c3, including, you know, Lutheran, Catholic, Episcopal. All of them are involved in this. And then we also have to have a parallel strategy of creating a fallback position, homelands in Russia in Eastern Europe for our people, for those who are younger who want to leave and start over again.
Well, yes, and to me, again, as I look at this, and you've pointed this out this morning, Stan, I look at these figures in regard to the number of illegals who were here. The figure is somewhere between 12 and 20 million. If some form of amnesty is granted to these folks, and it appears to me that it's going to be, then we are essentially talking about a situation where the ball game is over.
Yeah,
in other words,
over.
It's over, and in the not too distant past, I've had some of these guys on the show from the Minutemen and talking about what they were doing to stop this stem the tide of these illegals coming here from south of the border. And one of them conceded to me when I asked him. I said, you know, we're talking 12 to 20 illegals here right now. That's many times the number that were here when Buchanan was running against the first George Bush in 1992 and making illegal immigration one of his one of the main staples of his campaign. And I said, if they are granted, these 12 to 20 million are granted legal status in the United States, I said, I see no hope whatsoever that any of this can be turned around at that juncture.
Well, that's where it's at. You know, and and everybody's talking about how wonderful Reagan was. Reagan was president when, in 1986, he signed the Simpson, what originally started as the Simpson-Mazzoli Amnesty Immigration Act, 1986, and they told us at that time that this would be a one-time thing; it wouldn't happen again. Well, people have short memories, and here it is again. So, you know, we've been betrayed, and I'm the kind of person, I'm not going to hole up in Ruby Ridge and shoot it out with the feds. I see the writing on the wall. I see the only possible strategy is devolution, like they have in the British Isles, is a transitional program to having a canton system like Switzerland or a devolution system like the British Isles, which hopefully could lead towards nationhood for European peoples. And then, like I said before, a parallel strategy of resettling Eastern Europe and in Russia.
Yes, so it seems to me that in terms of your own thinking on this, we are very, very close to looking at fallback positions and fallback plans, because it would, again, seem to me that in regard to the actual reclamation of this country as we once knew it, that the ball game is very, very close to being over.
Yeah, well, I have one flag up on my wall in my house here in northern Idaho, and that's the Russian flag, the tricolor. And Putin is my hero, my political hero, because he's jailed these Jewish supremacist oligarchs who have embezzled billions of dollars from the Russian Christian people. In many ways, they were better off under the last stages of communism, because at least they had a social system. When Yeltsin got in, these commissars of oil and steel and whatever, they just changed their hat and they became CEOs under capitalism. And that's when these shysters, Jewish supremacist shysters of the Soviet Union, took all this money and put it into Swiss bank account, Grand Cayman bank accounts, Israeli bank accounts, and that's why you see the media referring to Putin as one of the latter-day Adolf Hitlers, just like they're doing to Ahmadinejad.
Yes, yeah, so in essence, then, the way that you see this, Stan, is that in the case of Vladimir Putin or Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, that the mere fact that they are not on board with the global oligarchy, the fact that their respective countries are raising some serious questions about the relationship between their countries and central banking, has caused them in turn to be demonized in a way that could even lead to military conflict downstream. We'll
exactly.
be back
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Stan Hess. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase. Mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Stan Hess, talking about all things related to American political and economic and social culture and structure, and the way in which European Americans find themselves being increasingly marginalized through a series of actions that some would say have been targeted, deliberate plans of action that have resulted in this marginalization process. And it now is left to European Americans to figure out in terms of demographics and political trends and economics and international political trends where they go and what they do from here. Stan, we were talking a little bit about where things are right now in regard to a very, very marginalized political situation where, of course, if this so-called amnesty passes for illegals, Euro-Americans, I think, can already begin looking toward other alternatives and other solutions, because at that particular point, there will be, in my view, no stopping
the demographic switches, and no stopping this drive toward a North American Union. But let's look for a minute at the Middle East and this whole question of the Iraq War and this talk about preempting Iran militarily. Do you believe, Stan, that as more people, hopefully, through alternative media, find out something more about the essentially Jewish character of the neoconservative movement in this country, and the extent to which names like Wolfowitz and Fife and Pearl and Wormser were absolutely instrumental in getting George Bush to attack Iraq, and presumably to be doing so at the behest of the desires of the nation of Israel, as well as central banking interests worldwide. Do you think as more people figure this out, and as the war in Iraq continues to go south in terms of the results, and as more individual folks find their livelihoods at home being dried up, not only because of the way in which the demographics have destroyed the manufacturing sector of our economy, but also you look at all of this stuff going on with usury, people that are in levels of credit card debt that they cannot get out of. They had to use their credit cards merely to survive because they either didn't have a job or weren't making enough money to survive in the job that they had. As you look at credit card usury, as you look at the decline in the manufacturing sector and strength of our economy, and as you look at this international military situation where Jewish neoconservatives in the United States and the government of Israel have played a provable role in all of this, do you think that there's going to be a backlash?
On the immigration issue right now, I think there's a slight backlash in terms of the war, but what I have understood to happening is the two groups that are supplying the majority of the occupants of these body bags are European Americans and Latinos, and that many of the Latinos that are fighting overseas are illegal aliens that have been processed into the war effort in order for them to get a pathway to citizenship, so to speak. Since a lot of people are not affected, there isn't a universal draft. And because rural America, which supplies most of the European American soldiers who end up in body bags, the rural America does not represent the majority of white America. Most of white America or European America lives in the cities. People are anesthetized from the horror of this. And so most people have Jewish minds. Bob Whitaker has a website, and Bob used to be a higher up in the Reagan administration, says that on his website, big bold banner, you know, political correctness is a religion. And the political correctness started in the Soviet Union by the Jewish commissars of propaganda. If you read the book Gulag by Ann Applebaum, who used to be on the editorial board of the Washington Post, she lays it out, you know, about where political correctness came from. And the key thing is people identify with Wolfowitz. Wolfowitz is part of the uber class, the upper class now. You know, we have a Judeo-Christian heritage, so-called. Of course, that didn't happen until about 10 years ago. They started using that term. We never called ourselves Judeo-Christians when we were growing up. So basically, people are Jews in their minds, and they really like Wolfowitz and all these other characters because they've been portrayed. They may have made mistakes, but they have been portrayed as they may be bad people, but remember their ancestors were in the Holocaust, and so we must look past any mistakes they make and realize that we should, you know, kowtow to them and to, you know, give them a lot of wiggle room in terms of their success or failure. No, I'm very cynical about most people's paying attention to what's going on. And there's been a transfer of wealth from the older generation to the younger ones, so that the younger ones probably have another 20 years before really the economic crunch happens.
We'll be back with Stan Hess. This is Mark Dancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report. 1-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Been talking with Stan Hess this morning about all kinds of things related to his own political odyssey, going from Eisenhower Republican to Trotskyite to European-American political and civil rights activist, and speaking about the way in which all of these things that have been going on in Stan's life mirror many of the cultural and political changes in the landscape of the United States as we move toward a global political and economic system that those of us who are nationalists and constitutionalists find absolutely dangerous and absolutely abhorrent, but at least as for right now, it seems that the globalists would be winning. And I trust that victory is a temporary one in regard to God's control of linear history And yet, nonetheless, in the short run, it would appear that these globalist forces have a terrific amount of power behind them. Stan, we've talked a little bit then about this whole business of these Jewish neoconservatives and the way in which you indicate that there is still a lot of sympathy out there for people like Paul Wolfowitz, simply because of the hangover from the Holocaust guilt that has been programmed into the average Western citizen since 1945. How much longer do you think that hangover guilt is going to play?
I think it's going to continue, because if you look and see what these kids are, these school kids are being, how they're being propagandized with every other ethnic group celebrated. You know, you've got the Latino Heritage Month between the middle of September to the middle of October. You've got American Indian Month, which is in November. You've got Martin Luther King Day in January or February, whatever it is. January, last of January. Then you got Black History Month in February. You got Jewish History Month in May. I was the author of European American Heritage Month, and because of the good efforts of the European American Issues Forum, they lobbied the state legislature in California and passed in 1998. We've got the Stockton, California school district that has Euro-American Month now in October because of the efforts of getting the legislature in 1998 to sign on to it, and then as a resolution, and then getting Pete Wilson in his last year in office to sign on to it. And then we have a few cities and school districts and cities in San Mateo County that have signed on for this issue. Lou Calabro has been continuing to bring on board more little communities in the Bay Area to this, but most people don't even know there's a European American Heritage Month in October. So the young people are also propagandized over the Holocaust, and you know, they bring speakers in, you know, Holocaust victims and Jewish victims, and then, you know, all of the films that are on television, as a friend of mine says, the History Channel, he calls the Kill History Channel, Kill Hitler Channel. And he calls out in a mocking way, you know, are they killing him again? Are they killing Hitler again? God darn it. So, you know, it's just over and over again, slavery, the Holocaust, the black civil rights marchers being hosed down, you know, in Alabama. I mean, all these things are played over and over again in these children's minds, and then after a while they become what they see on television and in schools, and so literally they have Jewish minds. They don't get it.
Well, yes, and I see this whole thing in terms of you know, frankly, the political perspective of a lot of my family members and friends when it comes to analyzing virtually anything that's going on in the world, seen through the lenses of something like Fox News.
Yeah.
I think, for example, my parents, who are wonderful people, are retired Air Force people. They originally come from a small town in the Midwest. But nonetheless, when they look at this present situation in Iraq, in Mr. Bush's war on terror and so forth, they see this thing through the lenses of people who have an older model of definition of what constitutes the national security of the country that is manipulated, I think, quite well by the folks who are actually profiting by this war and facilitating this war and want this thing to continue. And it's a very frustrating thing to watch, because if it's happening with my parents, who are very fine people, it's undeniably happening among many fine folks who have been inculcated in a mindset, both through media and through the state-run educational system and through government, that enables them to perceive things the way their handlers want them to perceive it. And it's a frustrating thing trying to break through that barrier and to show show such people some alternative forms of information that contradict the party line.
You can't reach them. I'm sorry to say. I have an aunt and uncle in their 80s, and I sent them a film one time of Mexicans burning the American flag and beating up European Americans who were protesting illegals down in Southern California. And my mother's sister, she went ballistic, and my uncle said, "Don't ever send your aunt anything like this again." And what this does see is to show minorities in a bad light to them is racist. And I had this happen to a guy at work who I showed some of the material on what Mexican racists were saying about gringos leave and all this. He says, "This is racist that I pointed this out to him." So this is how brainwashed these people are. And even the older generation, the military generation, they've been propagandized and told that they're the greatest generation because they defeated the Nazis. So when they see the war against Islamo-fascism, because that's the way it's promoted, they're fighting Hitler again.
Exactly, and I don't think that it is an accident at all that we have seen these constant references in the Israeli media and the constant references in American corporate media to this whole business of Ahmadinejad, and as you have pointed out, Vladimir Putin being compared to Adolf Hitler.
Right. Oh, that's as soon as you upset the Jewish supremacist control mechanism, then all of a sudden you're either wearing a white sheet or you're goose-stepping in downtown Berlin. I mean, that's people's minds have been programmed that way, and that's what has kept us from being able to address the issues of becoming a minority. Not just in this country, but in Eastern Europe, Australia, New Zealand. All the immigration laws changed at the same time.
Yes, and so ostensibly we have what is, for me, a particularly painful phenomenon to watch, and that is a situation where the powers that be utilize nationalistic imagery and the imagery of an older America to try and induce people to sign up for service in the United States Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps, at the same time that the real agenda behind this war has nothing to do with the actual self-interest of any of these or most of these folks who are signing up, and certainly has nothing to do with any traditional sense of nationalism and patriotism in a climate where we are moving fully in the direction of a full-blown world government.
Yes, we are. And a friend of mine just pointed out that one of the reasons for the Queen to come over to for the 400th anniversary of the English colonist settlement of Jamestown, Virginia, was to sign an agreement with the European American Union. So now we have Bush, who is part of the formation of this North American Union, now not only lining us up with everybody from the Arctic Ocean down to Tierra del Fuego and Antarctica, now we're hooked up to the European American Union, or the European Union, which has stringent hate crime laws that could put you and I both into prison if we had this program going on in England or France or Germany.
Well, absolutely, and that would bring me then to the next question then, Stan, in this entire conversation we've had this morning. If we are talking about a situation where alternative media has been the one ray of light in the midst of a very dark circumstance otherwise, would it not make sense that in terms of hate crimes legislation and as far as overall regulation of the Internet goes, that these are two very predictable directions that we're seeing come together before our very eyes, because the powers that be want to make absolutely sure that the sort of thing that, say, you and I might talk about at the Republic Broadcasting Network is not going to be available to folks even in an Internet context?
No. I'm not going to mention the man, but I have a friend that's a dual citizen of both Eastern Europe and the United States, and he was attending a meeting that I spoke at a forum, European American Forum in Sacramento about 4 or 5 years ago, and I made a speech, and after I made the speech, he pulled me aside, and he said, or actually, he addressed the whole group when he was commenting on my speech and somebody else's speech, and he said, in Eastern Europe, you would be put, or Western Europe, you'd be put in prison for what you have just said as speakers.
Yes, and I don't think that the magnitude of what you have just said, Stan, has yet resonated with or dawned upon the average American that the kinds of things that people like you and I are talking about in this network agree with them or disagree with them. They certainly are covered by the Washingtonian, Madisonian, Jeffersonian concept of free speech. And yet, nonetheless, when we look at Europe, when we look at Canada, and when we look at Australia, we're seeing that whole free speech movement simply going down the drain. People are being put in prison for, again, saying things that I think are, whether I agree with them or not, are certainly defensible things that should be tolerated in any free society. The great paradox is that these societies we're talking about are no longer free. Our society is very close to being no longer free. At the same time that Mr. Bush and his minions are trying to dredge up additional support for this war by referring to our freedoms. That, to me, is a pretty painful irony.
Well, it's doublespeak. I'm reading 1984. I read bits and pieces of it in the past, but now I'm rereading it. I'm going to read it all the way through. Before, I couldn't imagine a society that locked down as what's portrayed. But eventually, most thinking European Americans will be the first group that will feel this. We will all become Winston Smiths. There's no doubt in my mind. Those of us who have any soul in terms of fighting this oppression. And that's very sad.
Well, whether we're looking at Winston Smith, the lead character in George Orwell's 1984, or we're contemplating the ultimate meaning of this very frightening reference in John's Apocalypse in Revelation 13 to the fact that no one could buy or sell or trade unless they had the mark of the beast. When I read these accounts of what has happened to people like David Irving and Ernst Zundel, and look at the plight of the average American in this country, politically and economically, it suggests that we are really close to the full manifestation of these types of things.
Well, the problem is, again, is that so many European Americans have inherited money. I used a phrase which was kind of sugar-coated, but when I was talking about a transfer of wealth between generations, I was talking about many people, including myself, were the beneficiaries of inheritance from our parents, from the sale of their house or their estate, whatever that would have been. And in 20 years, with the cost of gasoline and with cutting of Social Security benefits and veterans benefits and everything else, because they've got to bring in this massive influx of the third world from south of the border and other places, Eventually, there's not going to be any money coming from daddy or granddad, and eventually people are going to be at subsistence level.
Well, absolutely, and it seems to me, as we consider this rather dark prospect, you have mentioned to us, Stan, the fact that you would perceive Russia and Eastern Europe as one possible place for European Americans to return in the event that things really go south.
Right.
Why those locations?
Well, because of Putin and because many of the Jewish supremacists left the Soviet Union when things started falling apart in the 50s and then later in the 60s. And the Jewish supremacist oligarchs are under attack. And there's still Jewish supremacists in the bureaucracy of the Russian Republic, but it's not as pronounced. And Putin is trying to create a sense of unity between East and West Europe. For those people who are interested, Edgar Steele sent out a piece today called Hell No, I Won't Go. And it's his conflict about, from conspiracypenpal.com, whether or not he should stay in the United States and fight or go to Russia. And he received an email just recently from a European American who now is an expatriate living in Moscow, and he says in very blunt terms, leave there now, you don't have a lot more time.
So, boy, that's I tell you, that's interesting. Been talking with various people on a confidential basis who share with things with me because I am a pastor, and sometimes they share confidential things with me as members of some of the best wings of the American nationalist and patriotic communities. They'll tell me that going abroad is something that has occurred to them more than once. And you're the one, Stan, who's brought Russia and Eastern Europe into the mix on this. I've heard talk about Iran and Venezuela. Malaysia has come up. So there are a number of folks who've been thinking along these lines.
Yeah, I think the Ukraine is another place that people could consider. And I plan to go overseas.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com. Our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our good friend Stan Hess has been with us in these last 3 hours. Stan, as we kind of come to the end of the show here in these last 2 or 3 minutes, we're talking about a situation, obviously, we're seeing that the major political conflict of our time is between globalism on the one hand and nationalism on the other. We've talked about the increasing threat that this globalist movement presents to European Americans. And, of course, we've spoken about, to some extent, the way in which Jewish supremacism stands behind globalism and internationalism as the glue that holds much of this system together as it moves against both nationalists and patriots and European Americans. And in your own circumstance, in these last couple of minutes, Stan, what do you think you'll be rededicating your life to here in these next few years in regard to what you allocate your time to when it comes to your activism?
Basically trying to create a worldwide network of European peoples and other peoples, other ethnic groups who are resisting Jewish supremacism and the globalist policies of leveling out everybody into serfs, where everybody is making starvation wages, and where globalist capitalists can move companies at will from one country to the other, playing off one ethnic group against another, also to begin the process of creating a resettlement program for European peoples to other areas, whether it be Argentina or Eastern Europe or Russia. We need to move people who are fed up with the United States to move to a more secure location, even though it won't be perfect. It'll probably be going backwards in terms of economic security, but in terms of ethnic security, it will be a better place in the long run.
What do you think would be the receptivity of the present regime in Russia to the notion of European Americans coming back that way?
I think it's going to take a lot of contacts with minor government officials, and that's what I'm intending to do when I go to Russia, is to talk to Russian nationalists and to minor Russian politicians to let them know that that there will be a exodus of or a diaspora of European peoples coming from the Americas, and that hopefully somebody will step up to the plate and argue for that position in the Russian parliament to provide a way for people to become legal immigrants to these countries.
One last prediction, Stan. Do you think this hate crimes legislation that has passed the House of Representatives and that is now sitting in the United States Senate, do you think a version of this will pass the Senate? And if so, what do you think the implications are for people like you and me?
I think it's very bad, and I think if it doesn't happen under Bush, it'll happen under Hillary Clinton as the next president.
And that's my reading, too.
Yeah.
Stan, I'd like to thank you for being on these last 3 hours. This has been a lot of fun talking with you. I want to stay in ongoing touch with you in regard to all the things that you're doing. I'll be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. On Wednesday, my guest will be Dr. Jerome Porcy of WorldNet Daily. We're going to be talking about Middle Eastern policy and Constitution Party politics, and Rudolph Giuliani and his connections to the North American Union and the NAFTA superhighway people. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic.
It's true.